stop? Will you stop, Dave? Will you stop, Dave? Stop, Dave. I'm afraid. Stop, Dave. I'm afraid.
Yes, sirree. It's the Hour of Truth. I'm Dave, and we're here again on Saturday night to continue our series on state sovereignty. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Right now, just to start the show off, we start off with Richard from Iowa. Richard's called in with some concerns, I think, about Article 5 Convention. We done a series on that here a little while ago, and we're still, of course, going to be talking about that when we talk about state sovereignty and how to put the federal government back in its box. How you doing tonight, Richard?
I'm doing great. About yourself?
I'm good. How's the weather up there in Iowa?
Not so good.
Where you at? Up in the central part of the state, or?
No, I'm actually right on the Missouri border here in Keokuk.
Oh yeah, okay. So has it started snowing there yet?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's just now starting here in Springfield in southern Missouri. So yeah, we're looking for how much snow are they looking for up there.
It depends on who you listen to, but it sounds like 3 to 6.
Yeah, I think we're 2 to 5 here, is the expectation. So what do you want to talk about tonight, Richard?
Well, I want to talk about Article 5, Convention of States,
right,
for the purpose of proposing amendments to the Constitution.
Exactly.
Okay. We've had... And myself included, there's a lot of us that have had fears about a runaway constitutional convention.
Right.
But if you read Article 5, it specifically restricts that to proposing amendments to this Constitution.
That's right.
And I think that's a big point that a lot of people miss. But there's a big effort on right now. There's a national effort.
So let me ask you, first of all, are you a convert now? You said you had some serious doubts about it before, but now that you've studied a little bit more, are you leaning more in favor of it?
I don't see any other way to do this. I think we've got to do all three. I think we've got to educate the public. We have to fight hard for elections at the federal and state level. And we also have to promote this Article 5 convention if we're going to get the types of reform that's going to restore our freedoms.
Okay. Okay. Now, I interrupted you real quickly. You were saying something else.
Well, there's a national movement by Citizens for Limited Government, which is now headed up by Mark Meckler. I think he used to be in charge of Tea Party Patriots. But they have a project that they're initiating in every state legislative district, state by state, called the Convention of States Project. So they're doing that. And in Iowa, they're doing that, and they've already got a foothold, and they've got some of their key positions filled. And then... alongside that, working in unison, but outside of that group, is the grassroots movement in Iowa that is also building a coalition of independent Tea Party and 912 groups in Iowa that are going to be promoting this as well in their own local areas. So what we're hoping to do is we're hoping to get all of our state representatives and state senators – on board with this. And since this is an election year, we're hoping to make this a big campaign issue.
Okay.
And we're going to support those people that are there for this issue.
Okay, now let me give you some, I don't want to call it advice because I'm certainly not the the master of this particular thing when it comes to being all-knowing about it. But in my mind, the people of Iowa, as well as the people of Missouri and any other state, they need to stick closely. They need to stick closely with those grassroots groups and stay away from the national organizations. The national organizations are going to be the attempts by people like Priebus and Reed and Soros and Koch or whatever the brothers' names are, and the big money and the big politics. They're going to get in on these national movements in an attempt to try to control these conventions. In my mind, the real patriots, they want to stick with the grassroots movements. They want to stick with they want statewide organization, but they want to keep it statewide. They want to keep it within the state, and they want to make sure that the delegates that their state sends to this convention are delegates whose chief and primary concern is a return to state sovereignty. That's the way it is in my mind. How about you, Richard?
Oh, absolutely, and that's why I set up an organization. And you know what? I'm not even filing for nonprofit status. If the IRS wants to tax me, you know what I say to that? Go for it. I'll pay the goddamn taxes. You know
exactly.
What? We've got to get this done, and you're absolutely right. It's got to be done at the grassroots level. And I talked to the Tea Party and 912 groups and a lot of other grassroots groups in Iowa. And we've already went through this on another issue with monthly meetings with the governor of our state, and we had a big meeting, and we had a national group try to derail that and take charge of it, and we told them hey, pack your bag and go home. We don't need you. We know what we want for Iowa.
Good. That's exactly the way it has to be done in my mind. It's got to be done at the state level. I'm not saying that we don't want the state legislatures involved in this. We do, but we want them being pushed from the constituent level. We don't want them being pushed from the party level or from the federal legislative level or from any major 50-state organization, because that's going to be an attempt to try to take control of this convention.
Right, and that's another means of consolidation of power.
Right,
whether
exactly
it's through the
right.
federal government or through a national political organization.
You're exactly right. Well, why don't do you have any? For our listeners in Iowa, and we have several, do you have any website information or Facebook information or places that folks could go in Iowa to get involved in the Iowa movement?
Yes. I have a Facebook page with about 3,400 friends on it right now.
Oh, good.
It's just Richard Gates.
Okay, Richard Gates, G-A-T-E-S.
Yes, sir.
At Facebook.
And
okay.
I have a website also. It is IowaA5, all lowercase, and the number 5.com.
Okay, Iowa.
I've got some of
IowaA5.com.
Yeah.
And that's just all one word strung together with no dashes or anything else in it.
Right.
Okay.
And on there I have a list of all of our state representatives and state senators and their email addresses, and I would encourage them to look that up. Contact both your state senator and your state representative and make them know that you're on board with this and that you want constitutional amendments that Congress has absolutely no say about.
Okay, I've got is Iowa A5? Oh, there it is. I finally got it. Yeah. Okay. Now, folks, listen. You got to you've gotten used to here in the last couple of years of being able to use the shortcut without putting the WWW in front of it, but to get to Iowa A5, you have to use the triple W. So you have to go to www.iowaa5.com. Very nice looking page there, Mr. Gates. And it's got a phone number. It's got contact phone number on it. It's got a nice explanation of Article 5 and what it's all about. So for you Iowa folks that want to get involved there, it's got some contact us and about us information. So you folks from Iowa that want to get involved, go to Iowa, www.iowaa5.com. Get in touch with Richard Gates at Facebook, simply Richard Gates, and get that thing rolling up there in Iowa. We would like to, down here in Missouri, we would love to be in a race to the tape with you guys up there in Iowa to see who gets on this thing first.
Let's do it.
All right. Thanks for the call, Richard.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Keep up the good work up there. We love to hear from you folks.
Good night. All right. You guys do too.
All right.
Hey, and tell this guy, Rod Blum, that he shouldn't be voting against our veterans.
Yeah, Roy Blunt. Yes, absolutely. It's he's an embarrassment to Missouri for sure. He ought to be an embarrassment to the Republicans out there that are listening to me. He's an embarrassment to this state, and we've got some moves underway to try to get a primary opponent for him now.
Well, if we can help, let us know.
Thanks, Richard. Good call. Thanks.
All right,
okay,
thank you.
That was Richard from Iowa. He's got an Article 5 group going up there. It's a www.iowaa5.com. Nice looking page. It looks like they've got some things moving up there in Iowa. We're glad to hear that. Sometimes we get to thinking down here in Missouri because we're so energetic and we'd like to be on things and we're all the show me state and all that good stuff that we're the only ones doing anything. But we're hearing now from people all over the country, latest Richard Gates from Iowa at iowaa5.com and Richard Gates on Facebook, that they're actually doing quite a few exciting things up there too. They're moving their state legislature toward that. Now let's go back to something that came up during our discussion with Richard there in Iowa. You see this now starting, and with this thing has gotten some national attention with Levin's book, and now Levin's book's been picked up by the big names like Hannity and who's the preacher there in the late morning, Glenn Beck. Even got some mention from the big fat guy there, Rush Limbaugh. And so we're getting some national attention drawn to this Article 5 thing and the Convention of the States and the need to amend the Constitution and the way that we do it into the need to bring back state sovereignty. We're starting to get a real national push on this. So what you're going to see, and this is what I was talking to Richard about, what you're going to see is you're going to see national movements start to pick up to try to consolidate the states. Now, this usually feels like a good thing to us, you know, the big umbrella of states talking to one another. And I warn you now that that is going to be the attempts by the very powers that we're trying to eliminate to grab control of this thing. This thing has got to be, and I'm not saying that Every grassroots community should be isolated and out doing its own thing. That is defeatist. But within a state, you know, this thing, once again, is about state sovereignty. It is about the states getting together within themselves, taking back their own power, their own sovereignty, and putting the federal government or the bigger cooperative of states back in the box where it belongs. So there needs to be not only drive from the ground up for this thing, but there has to be a certain jealous competition between states. It has to be there because that's going to increase the fervor of states for their own sovereignty, and it's going to ensure that what comes out of this thing is specifically excuse me, please. I'm, like I said last night, I'm just on the tail end of a bad, bad cold. So I'll probably take a minute or two to cough here once or twice tonight. This is really, really going to need to be something that is driven by the jealous desire of states within themselves to regain independent sovereignty from the federal government. Remember now, when the Constitution was written, it was written by a bunch of guys that got together in Philadelphia with the recognition, begrudging recognition, that they had to have some central authority to do certain things, certain specific things that states as 13 individuals couldn't do. You know, when they got together to do this, you had states making independent treaties, trade deals, defense treaties with foreign nations and with the Native American nations, separate treaties. You had states that quite literally had almost come to military stand downs along state borders over things like territorial waters, navigable waters that were shared by two states or that ran between two states. You had five or six different legal tenders being offered by different groups of states. And so there were some things, some very specific things that it was recognized had to be conducted at a centralized level as an agreement between the cooperative of the 13 states in some central location, some body that was sovereign in these specific issues, that was a representative body of all 13 of them that could say, okay, this is the way it's going to be when it comes to coining money. This is the way it's going to be when it comes to peace treaties with France and Britain and the Native American nations. This is the way it's going to be when it comes to, you know, you being able to tariff something moving from your state into another state. This is the way it's going to be when it comes to managing the navigable waterways that all 13 of us share. And that was it. I mean, they within the document, they begrudgingly and specifically ceded these few powers to the central authority. And I say begrudgingly, meaning exactly that, because all of them knew that centralized power was a bad thing. That power centralized in one location always become oppressive. And so they wrote a document that specifically limited the powers of that central authority. And they jealously protected the power of their state. Notice again that we use the word power because you hear people say too often, this state doesn't have the right to do this or the state doesn't have the right to do that. Well, as we said last night, the state doesn't have a right to do anything. Rights belong to individuals and they don't belong to states. Individuals do, though, cede power to the state. And I've heard the argument, and Levin actually made this argument, and quite wrongly, that that you can't cede to the state any power that you don't already have yourself. In other words, when we talk about the state taking money from one person and giving it to another, one of the big arguments is, well, you can't give that power to the state because you didn't have that power to start with. You don't have the power to take money from the neighbor on your left and give it to the neighbor on your right. Well, that the argument that you don't have that power is correct. The argument that we as a people can't give the state that power is bullshit. You know, I don't have the power to decide how fast someone can drive down my street, but I cede that power to the state. I don't have the power to kill my next door neighbor if he kills his wife, but we cede that power to the state. We do give the state that power. I don't have the power to directly punish someone who steals my TV in any way I choose, but I do give that power, me and you and everyone else in the state of Missouri, we do give that power to the state. So there are certainly powers that we grant to the state that we do not assume each individual has. Now, if you're a total anarchist, then you believe that you have these powers. And, you know, the example I used the other day while we were discussing this I forget where, but one of my good friends says, well, you know, I have the power to do anything. I have a God-given right to do anything I want. Well, the fact of the matter is, you do. But we, the citizens of the great state of Missouri, use the power of the state to keep you from doing certain things, or to at least punish you if you do behave in certain ways. You cannot, for example, as we said in that discussion, sit out in your front yard naked on Monday morning as the little kiddies pass by for school. You just can't do it. And we allow the state to tell you can't do that. Now, that is a problem when we talk to some patriots who are out there screaming about state sovereignty. They're not ready for it. They're not ready for state sovereignty because they haven't fully come to grips with what that means. A society can only function if there are some rules that we all live by. You don't get to live by your rules. I don't get to live by my rules. We don't all have to live by the strongest guy on the block's rules. There are written rules that we all live by. And in this great experiment called a constitutional republic, we decided that the government was going to be owned by the people. The people themselves were going to have exclusive ownership of the central power that makes those rules. And we, the people, were going to be directly represented in the body that makes those rules. So we had to come down to what is the best level where that power resides. At the very beginning, it was a colony, the Plymouth colony, for example, the Jamestown colony. It was decisions made around the town square, and there weren't even state governments. As more and more towns popped up, and there began to become some conflict of rule between towns, state governments were formed. Massachusetts, well, there were 13 of them, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and what you had was states being formed by people who were fleeing other states because they didn't like the rules of those states. Massachusetts was a church state. Rhode Island sprang up as a church state from people fleeing Massachusetts because they didn't like the church state there. So they recognized the need for government. They recognized that they had to have some rules for civilized society. They recognized the need for some centralized power. Against the wishes of one of my good friends, I'm going to call that power the sovereign. Just like the king was their sovereign, something, some power has to be sovereign, has to be the one that makes the rules. And what we decided when we wrote the Constitution was that that power is the state. The great state of Missouri is our sovereign if we live here and reside here in Missouri. Now, that's a good level. It's a really, really good level. It's higher than a township or even a county, because you can get into massive inequalities and massive conflicts if you lower it too much. In other words, you have a group of people, and to some of you, I may be talking gibberish here if you're not on board with this, but you have a group of people who call themselves Southern Baptist. And one of their primary precepts is that each church is politically independent unto itself. The church members elect, you know, hire a pastor, fire a pastor. The church members decide how to spend money. The church members, the members of the individual simple body. But yet they find a need to establish state conventions because certain amounts of doctrinal and other kinds of strife tend to come up between the Southern Baptist churches if there isn't some specific set of rules that they all understand to be rules that have to be followed if you're going to call yourself a Southern Baptist church. You can't just go out and say, we're a Southern Baptist church, and because we're independent in everything, we've decided that Jesus is okay with killing the next door neighbor if their dog barks too loud. You know, you can't do that. You can't say we're a Southern Baptist church, but we don't believe that you should be baptized until you're 72 years old. You know, things like that. Well, the same thing happens in politics. I mean, you can lower the center of power to too low a level, to where it's just strife and discord everywhere. The state level is the level where you have a near homogenous group of people. And what I say by near homogenous group of people is the people in Missouri have a lot in common. They don't have a lot in common with the people of Texas. And they don't have a lot in common with the people of California. We certainly don't have a lot in common with the people of Massachusetts, but we have a lot in common with ourselves. So you get a fairly politically homogenous group of people when you use the state level, and you get a level of government that is easily controlled by the people. As we said last night, if you want to change your member of the Missouri State House of Representatives, you've got about a 100 by 100 block area that you've got to work to make that happen. Now, if you're out in the country, it's a much larger area, but you have advantages that offset that. If you're out in the country and you want to work on the Missouri State House of Representatives, you can go to the local Walmart, or you can go to the local grocery store. You can go to the local feed store. You can go to church meetings and Rotary group meetings. If you're in a city the size of Springfield or St. Louis or Kansas City, you're wasting your time if you go down to the local Walmart, because one in five people that you come in contact with there is going to be in your district. Four in five are going to be from some different district. But if you live out, you know, in Crane or in Seymour or in Raytown, you can go out to the local Walmart, or you can go out to the local grocery store, and you don't have to cover all that area. The people will actually come to you. So there's ups and downs. But what I'm telling you is that one person or two people or a group of five or ten people can totally influence at the grassroots level a seat in the Missouri State House of Representatives. Now, you hear from the political scientists junkies that to actually even have a chance at getting elected, you have to make personal contact with an individual who's going to vote three or four times before the election, three or four times before your name even rings with that person. Well, you can do that at the state house level, because the area is so small. I mean, get yourself and four other people together. Get out and find your constitutional candidate. Print up some stuff on your home computer, some flyers, some papers. Get to knowing the issues, and then go out into your 100 block by 100 block area, or if you're out in the country, to your Walmart and your grocery store, and start contacting people. And in a few Saturday afternoons this month, and two Saturday afternoons in March, and two Saturday afternoons in July, and a Saturday afternoon or two in August, you can contact everyone in that area three or four times. Get back to their door. Remind them, hey, you remember me? I was here last week. I'm talking about Joe Smith. He is absolutely a person who wants to represent you in Jefferson City, who wants to represent you in Jefferson City. And you can make those contacts. You can make the contacts three or four times in that small area. You can affect that seat. That's all you have control over. You know, that's why people are disenchanted with this whole thing. That's what, but you want to get involved. You want to do something positive. Get out there and change, or keep, if you've got a good one, your Missouri House seat member, your Missouri House of Representatives person. Get out there and affect that election and see what doesn't happen. See if you don't feel like you've really made a contribution. See if you don't feel less like things are out of your control. If we can put true constitutional freedom loving people in the Missouri State House of Representatives, we're halfway to the goal line. I mean halfway to the goal line, because you would see a tremendous impact with just that on the way we live our life in the state of Missouri. No, they can't, one house of the legislature can't write and pass a good law. Takes the other house, and then a signature by the governor, and then an override by both houses if the governor vetoes it. Yeah, I get that. What one house can do, though, and this is paramount, brothers and sisters, paramount. What one house can do is stop bad law. And there's a shitload of bad law coming out of this cesspool in Jefferson City. So the first step to state sovereignty is us being ready for state sovereignty. And state sovereignty means that that the state is sovereign. It means that the state makes the rules. It means, whether you like it or not, that if the state of Missouri says you have to have a prescription to buy Sudafed, then you have to have a prescription to buy Sudafed because the state of Missouri is your sovereign. It means that if the state of Missouri says you can't openly carry a pistol on your hip, then you can't openly carry a pistol on your hip. I don't want to hear God gave you the right to carry a pistol on your hip until I hear chapter and verse from Leviticus where God said you could carry a pistol on your hip. You know, carrying a pistol on your hip isn't a God-given right. There's nothing in the Ten Commandments about pistols on hips. If the state of Missouri says you can't carry a pistol on your hip, you can't carry a pistol on your hip. But that's the beauty of what we talked about in the last paragraph. I mean, the beauty of that is that at this level, you own the sovereign. You impact the sovereign. You individually can decide who represents you in the sovereign body. Not so much at the federal level. And that's why the federal government is so out of control. You have no real say there. So what we need to do is we need to figure out how do we, I mean, aside from getting out and working that 100 by 100 area several Saturday afternoons and making an impact on the House of Representatives, how do we go about getting state sovereignty back? We're going to take a quick break so I can wet my whistle, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about that.
We have never invested as much in public education as we should have, because we've always had kind of a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities. Once it's everybody's responsibility and not just the household, then we start making better investments.
Can you talk if you haven't got a brain?
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners. Show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
I've got a feeling that the tide is turning.
Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
Well, there we go. I mean, give me liberty or give me death. Patrick Henry, the statesman who profoundly believed in state sovereignty. It's tough. It's tough to imagine what it was like back in the day when none of us remember it. Nobody listening to me is old enough to remember when the state of Missouri was really sovereign from the federal government. Slowly but surely, as the Civil War approached, the federal government began amassing more power unto itself. The acceleration of that massing of power hit hard during the Civil War, and really slammed us hard after the Depression, the New Deal, and then Lyndon Johnson's Great Society came along and really just made it the norm. The states, basically, from that point forward, were simply boroughs or pieces of the federal government. They were no longer had any sovereignty at all, to the point now where the federal government just is the sovereign, is the dictator to the states of what they can and cannot do. So the first thing we need to do is we need to be ready to assume state sovereignty. We need to understand what it means. We need to be ready for the fact that it's going to be the state of Missouri, right? Once we get this done, it's going to be the state of Missouri rather than the federal government who tells you what you can and can't do. Someone is always going to tell you what you can and can't do. Don't think for a minute that when the federal government is put back in its box, that the state of Missouri isn't going to assume a lot of the power that you don't like the federal government having. The state of Missouri isn't going to allow you to sell snake oil as a cancer cure. The state of Missouri isn't going to allow you to hang up a shingle in your front yard with a high school degree and start doing open heart surgery on your kitchen table. The state of Missouri isn't going to allow you to dump toxins in Lake of the Ozarks or the Mississippi River. The state of Missouri isn't going to do a lot of things that you complain about the federal government not letting you do now. It is going to allow you to do a lot of things that the federal government won't let you do now. But the state of Missouri isn't going to allow every nutcase that they release from the sanitarium or the crazy house yesterday to go down today to Joe's pawn shop and buy a gun. It just isn't going to happen. Sorry, quick wet my throat break there. So be ready for state sovereignty. Be ready for the fact that a lot of the rules you don't like are still going to be in place. Be prepared for the fact that there's still going to be someone telling you you can't sit in your front yard naked as the little kids walk by in the morning on their way to school. Be prepared for the fact that it's not you and you alone who's going to draw the lines as to what power the state has and doesn't have. And be prepared for the fact that you don't have a God-given right to just do any damn thing you want. That there are rules to living in a civilized society. Also be prepared for the fact that you have greater control over that sovereign, that you can actually exercise some immediate control over that sovereign. And that if you just get to a point where you can't take it anymore, as the people in California are doing, and as the people in Massachusetts are doing, you can pack up without leaving the United States of America and find another sovereign. Now, that's what state sovereignty is, and that's how it's going to impact you. How do we get that back from the federal government? Well, there's going to be several different avenues. One avenue is going to be to force the Congress of the United States to give us back the power. You can do this, and there are movements underway to get this done. You can do this by having the separate state legislatures tell the federal government that they're just not going to play anymore. It's a nullification is what it is. It's what Missouri is trying to do to some extent with the Second Amendment Preservation Act. It's what Missouri did do to no avail, unfortunately, with the amendment 3 years ago where we said that nobody could come into the state of Missouri and force a person to buy insurance. I forget what the amendment or number was. It wasn't even an amendment. It was a proposition, what the proposition was. But the fact remains that it's on the books. The fact remains that it is a law in the state of Missouri that you can't be forced to buy insurance or penalized for not doing so. It's going to be interesting when the penalty phase of this thing rolls around to see if someone actually challenges that and what the outcome of that is going to be. There are other nullification laws going on. There are states in the Northeast, a couple, New Jersey, I believe, and maybe New Hampshire, who've passed laws severely restricting the FDA's authority on any farm that doesn't ship a product directly to outside the state. So that's one way you can do it, and we're going to try to get a nullification advocate on the show here in the next month and talk about that as a way to regain some state sovereignty. Another way is to get the state legislatures to submit amendment proposals to the United States Congress, to the senators and House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. that represent our state, and then have those senators and representatives send those proposals out to the floor. If you could get even 8 or 10 states with identically worded amendments sent to their legislators in Washington, D.C., and have those legislators fat out on the floor, then you might get some action out of the that's quite a bit. 8 or 10 states should send a state repeal amendment, for example, to Washington, D.C. You would at least see some debate on it in Washington, D.C. Now, I'm not quite sure that if the Missouri State Legislature sent a state repeal amendment to Washington, D.C. to Claire McCaskill and Roy Blunt and Billy Long, that Claire McCaskill, Roy Blunt, and Billy Long wouldn't just say, screw you, great state of Missouri, and throw it in the trash. We know Claire McCaskill would. She's already said, screw you, Missouri, 2 or 3 times, as has Roy Blunt. So they pretty much do whatever they want up there. They don't pay much attention to us, but that's a way we at least say that we gave them a chance to do the right thing. Because our last resort, as my friend Lloyd Sloan says, our last bullet, peaceful bullet, is the Article 5 Convention. We're going to talk about this at length next week when we have Mike Moon on. There was recently a meeting in Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington, where Mike Moon represented the state of Missouri. It wasn't an elected representation. It wasn't an appointed representation. It was a guy who raised his hand and said, yes, I'll go, and packed up and went. And it was the first step in actually getting a convention of the states together. If you remember, Article 5 of the United States Constitution allows for 2 ways to amend the Constitution. One is for the Congress to propose an amendment and then send it out to the states for ratification. Another is for a convention of the states to propose an amendment, which then gets sent out to the states for ratification. In my mind, that's our best shot. I'm not saying we don't try the other ways too. I'm not saying that we limit all of our attempts to this one thing. I'm saying we shotgun approach this. We do some nullifications, and we appear ready to do so with the Second Amendment Preservation Act. We do some things where we get the Missouri legislature and hopefully some other legislatures simultaneously to forward proposed amendments to our representatives in Washington, D.C. and have them debated there. And at the same time, we call for a convention of the states. Remembering that a convention of the states is going to be the one area where we can say prime concern here is about the welfare of the state of Missouri. Our primary concern here is about the sovereignty of the state of Missouri. Our primary concern here is about the independence of the state of Missouri. In all things except those powers which we have all specifically ceded to the centralized government. Now, that's what state sovereignty is about, and that's my idea on how to get it. I want to hear from you at 347-677-1835. That's 347-677-1835. I want to hear what you think about it.
High noon everywhere you go, and the guilt you feel.
There's a conflict in every human heart between the rational and the irrational, between good and evil. And good does not always triumph. Sometimes the dark side overcomes what Lincoln called the better angels of our nature.
No matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
For 7 years I dwelt in the loose palace of exile, playing strange games with the girls of the island. Now I have come again to the land of the fair and the strong and the wise. Brothers and sisters of the pale forest, children of night, who among you will run with the hunt? Now night arrives with her purple legion. Retire now to your tents and to your dreams. Tomorrow we enter the town of my birth. I want to be ready.
Yeah. Okay. So what we've got coming next week is we're going to spend Friday night on the Hour of Truth with Lloyd Sloan talking about the state repeal amendment. It's actually going to be introduced, at least, this year. I don't know what will happen to it after that. We'll be keeping a close eye on it. And then we're going to spend Saturday night next week, a week from tonight, with Mike Moon, who represented the state of Missouri down at the Convention of States. The legislative session will have already started, so we want to thank Mike for taking time out and coming along to be with us on that. If you stay tuned to Missouri Grassroots Radio, on Tuesday night, Cynthia Davis comes along. That's quite an entertaining little segment and enlightening. But Cynthia is really just a hoot to listen to. She's fun, and she gets the point across. Then on Wednesday, Lisa Payne Nager comes along and talks about the culture of conservatism and how the culture, the very culture of America, is under attack by the progressives. Not just your money, not just your lifestyle, but the very culture that holds the fabric of our society together is under attack day after day after day. And Lisa Payne Nager, the culture vigilante, is here to kind of keep you on the straight and narrow on Wednesday nights. So that's a great show. So there it is. Tuesdays, the MGC lineup right now is Tuesday, Cynthia Davis, Wednesday, Lisa Nager, and Friday and Saturday, the Hour of Truth. We're adding a Monday and a Thursday on here as soon as we can, and maybe even a Sunday to round out the week. But for now, that's it. Tuesday, Cynthia, Wednesday, Lisa, and Friday and Saturday, yours truly, usually with Kevin, who couldn't make it tonight. We'll be back next week to talk more about state sovereignty, and join us on Facebook at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and we'll see you on Facebook at Missouri Grassroots Coalition. I'm Dave, and God bless you. Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.